And for those of you who do not know him, I introduce to you Zerubbabel Jr. God bless.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. It is an honor to be here, and as we open God's Word in this morning, I will ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us in everything we do, and for that I'll ask for each of us to bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for this Sabbath day, especially since it's an honor to be another Sabbath sharing with you. The day you set apart for us to come and worship with you in church and fellowship with other brethren. And I ask that your Holy Spirit will guide me this morning as I present your word, and that the words I speak, they be not my words, but your words through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, brothers and sisters, we will study one of the many stories that in the Old Testament reflects in very good contrast how God's modern-day church is a mere image of the children of Israel, which was God's church in the Old Testament. There's many stories that we see. We can see the story of Daniel. We can see the story of Elijah, of men who stood up for God when everything seemed as if God's plan was dead. Many of these men were poor. Many of these men had professions. But one of them that we're going to see today was one by the name of Josiah. King Josiah, when he started to reign, he was just 8 years old, but he did a very big impact in the children of Israel. The children of Israel were almost, as you'd say, part of another nation. They no longer worshiped Jehovah as they had been ordered to, and they had set apart all that God had given them. They never paid any attention to it. But this young man, when he came to the throne, he made the people go back and seek the Lord. He made them awake from their spiritual death so that Christ would shine on them. And for that, I would like for us to see at the background of this story. Josiah, when he came to reign, the Israelite nation had been already like 300 years in power. David had come and ruled after Saul, and after David had come Solomon. Solomon, as we know, was the wisest man of all, yet he did one of the biggest mistakes when he married all those women and he set up idols for all the women of the different nations. After that, the Israelite kingdom was divided in two. The southern kingdom was the one that had the oracles of God. They had the temple and the high priests. The northern kingdom right away fell into apostasy. They had golden calves built on either side of the kingdom, and they eventually left everything that had to do with God and went total apostasy. But the southern kingdom was the remnant that God had to preach his gospel. Yet this part of Israel, the remnant, at this point in the story of God's people, didn't seem like if it was part of Israel. It seemed like if it was like a Moabite or a Midianite nation, which had knowledge of God, but didn't really practice what they knew. And as we see, Manasseh, the grandfather of Josiah, was a young man when he started reigning. He was just 12 years old. Yet in stark contrast to Josiah, he chose another path. Like many youth of today, he chose to live the pleasures of this world, and thus he had the longest reign of any other king, 55 years. And even though God gave him the opportunity to start at a young age and having a father, Hezekiah was one that had brought reformation to Israel when his father Ahaz had almost put them into apostasy completely. He had brought them up. He had introduced Passover back again and all the feasts that God gave them. Yet Manasseh, at 12 years old, he decided not to follow the Lord. He decided to go for the pleasures of this world And as we see, the nation was lukewarm. And for that, I would like for us to turn to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And here, the nation, God is talking to Laodicea, the church, the seventh church in the three chapters that God is talking to in Revelation. And verse 14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." In here we see that God is talking to the church of Laodicea. But as we know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "What was is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done." So this nation of Israel is the same thing as this church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea was God's church in that time that John is talking about. They were entrusted with the oracles of God, yet it had come to a point in their lives where they went to church on Sabbath, they had their Bibles, they had the prophets, they had the law of Moses, yet they didn't feel no revival in their life. They didn't seek the Lord. They just went through the motions every week. And the children of Israel in the time of Josiah wasn't the same place. Like Jeremiah said, all the Israelites said, "Temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord." But were they really in love with God? Or were they just proud that they had such a beautiful temple with gold and silver and all the jewels that were in it? Were they really in their daily lives when they woke up in the morning? Were they like, "I'm going to follow the Lord this day and help anybody that needs help"? Were they doing that? Or when they woke up was, "Oh, I'm an Israelite. I mean, we all know God. We all know the commandments. So we're just going to go through another day because at the end, we're still God's chosen people." And that's what sadly happened to them. They came to a point in their lives where they no longer saw the difference between being God's chosen people and following him truly. These Israelites at this point were in such a depth that whenever the prophets came and talked to them, they no longer listened. Isaiah, who was the prophet during Hezekiah's time, was killed, one of the first to be killed during Manasseh's reign. And history says that he was put inside a log and sawed to death. Well, that was a very sad ending for a prophet who almost half a century had preached the gospel to all these people. He had witnessed how 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army had been killed by the angel of the Lord. Everybody had witnessed that. Even Manasseh knew the story, because Hezekiah, whenever he was sick and he asked God to heal him, he came and told Manasseh everything because he was the one who taught him to be the next leader of the nation. Yet when Manasseh came to reign, he didn't put none of these things in consideration. He just did what many of us do. He went, saw the word, and he said, "Well, I'm God's children, so at the end, whatever I do, it's all up to me. I don't care if God tells me to do this or to do that. I will do my own thing." So when he did this, the nation just fell like that. And for that, we need to go to 2 Chronicles 34, 1 through 7, for us to see how was the nation in the time of Josiah, whenever Josiah came to reign. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. And it says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside from the right hand or to the left hand. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the Lord of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of Baal in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them, he cut them down. And the wooden images, he cut them, broke them in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Judah. As we see, when Josiah came to reign, he was but a mere boy. But he decided, in his heart, it said, he decided in the 8th year of his reign to seek the Lord. We might ask, what is seek the Lord? We all are Seventh-day Adventists. We're all part of God's children. We all come to church every Saturday. We see the Bible every day in our houses, and we read it. But like the saying says, we hear, but we don't listen. Many of us might really be hearing, but are we really listening to what God has for us in the Word, in His Word? And when Josiah came to reign, he was just 8 years old. But it says he decided to seek the Lord. So how can we seek the Lord in our lives? We might not be young as Josiah. We might be older. We might even be an adult who has walked through all paths of life and have not found satisfaction. But we now come to a time in our lives where we just have to stop and think. We have to seek the Lord. The Lord is there for us. He has always been there for us. But He's just waiting for us to come to Him. So let's say we wake up in the morning and we study God's Word, but we go out and somebody talked to us in a wrong way and we talk to them back. What we read in the morning, was that part of the example that Christ gave us to go and talk back to the person? Or what does He say in His Word? He says, turn the other cheek. So when He says turn the other cheek, He's saying if we wake up in the morning and we're trying to seek the Lord, there always will be temptation. And we go out and somebody talked to us in a wrong way and we don't answer back, maybe the person is going to notice, wow, this person doesn't talk to me back. Why doesn't he do that? Does he have something that is holding him back? Then the person might ask you, and you might have the opportunity to witness and say, well, the Bible, the Lord told me, and I have the knowledge that if you talk to me in a wrong way, I am not supposed to answer you back, because if I seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit will take control of my life. And if He takes control of my life, He will be the one who speaks and will know that when is the wise time for me to answer back, not in a wrong way, but in a way to construct the other person's life. So when Josiah was reigning, there was another thing that happened. Many of the children of Israel, they still were faithful to God. And like we see, there was two prophets in that time, Zephaniah and Habakkuk. Both of them were prophets that wrote books in the Bible. And if we go through their books, they're all lamentations and longing for a reformation. Do you think that these two prophets, when Josiah came to reign, do you think they thought that this little boy would bring the nation back to God? Or do you think he thought he would just be like his grandfather? His grandfather was a boy, and you know, boys, if they don't have something to lead them to God, they would just fall astray. Do you think he thought that? Or do you think that he thought that God would really impact his life? What do you think? Well, I think that both prophets didn't think that God will impact his life. But as we know, for God, Nothing is impossible. And now we see that and we think, can we have our Bible in our life? Maybe me as a young person, I might think, well, I'm still young, so if I live a bad life at the end, I can still go back to God. Because God said, no matter how old you are, no matter what you do, you will always have me there. But that's not right, because God said, you must always try to seek the Lord. Don't try to fall out and experience the bad things, because if you do, you will lament. And later on, you might see that because of your example, many other people were taken astray. And many of you might think, well, I'm already an elder person. I have lived all my life, but I have not felt something that gave me a revival in my life. And we go through the Bible and see that there was one man who felt that way. In John chapter 3, I would like for us to turn to John chapter 3. There talks about a man called Nicodemus. And as we will see in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verses 4 and onward. And it says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered to him and said, how can these things be? And Jesus said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak and we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. So as we see here, this is a rabbi. And the rabbis in the time of Jesus, they memorized the entire law. That is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They were men who basically had the Bible imprinted in their brains. When somebody would come and ask them something, they would just be ready to say it back. But this man, he was not satisfied with life. He came to Jesus, and he as a rabbi, you might think, well, what did he need of Jesus? Jesus was just another rabbi from the country. He was a rabbi from the Sanhedrin. He was the one who studied the law and the prophets. Jesus didn't. Well, that's what they thought, but Jesus was the Son of God, and he studied at home, and that's one of the best ways to study. If you study at home, away from the influences, you will be more prepared than many of those rabbis, because Jesus was more prepared than this rabbi. Because this rabbi comes and asks Jesus, how can I be born again? He felt that he needed to be born again, but he didn't know how to. Many of us might have been baptized by water, and that's just one step in here, it says, to being born again. But it also says we have to be born by the Spirit. What is it to be born by the Spirit? Many of us might come to church every week, and we know we're Seventh-day Adventists, we follow God's word, but are we really practicing what we know? Because many of us can come here and in Sabbath put a face, but when we go out during the week, are we practicing what we come and preach in the Sabbath day? Or are we like the rest of the people going out and practicing other stuff? We might not curse or say bad language, but just talking freely anything we want, is that glorifying God in the specific moment that He wants us to glorify Him? So in the Bible, we can see that this man, he was so distraught that he came to Jesus. But do y'all know any examples in the Bible where there was two men, one that was satisfied with his life and one that wasn't? Well, I remember of one man who wasn't satisfied at the end of his life. It was Eli. Eli was a high priest of the children of Israel. He was the highest authority entrusted by God to lead the people and teach them the oracles that he had entrusted them. But Eli, in his adult life, he reared two sons, yet he lacked one of the most important things, to teach them obedience to God. And when he was an old man, he always lamented himself because he knew that his sons cheated the people from their sacrifices. They took more meat than what was allowed to them. They even slept with the girls who took care of the sanctuary, who cleaned the sanctuary. And when he was an old man, I'm sure that he was not happy. He must have thought back, wow, if I could have just taught them more about God, if I could have just set more the example by being a better father, not just teaching the people, but also teaching my family. But also we can see another man who, when he was an old man, he was very satisfied. Abraham. The spirit of prophecy says that Isaac, when he was taken to be sacrificed, he was 20 years old. Can you imagine a 20-year-old man with an 120-year-old father who, when he asked him, where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? And his father said, there is no sacrifice. You are the one. That son could have just gone and run away. He was 20 years old. What was that match to an 120-year-old father to run after him? But because he was taught since a young man to follow the Lord, when Abraham told Isaac that, Isaac didn't say a word. He humbly submitted and obeyed to his father. Later on in life, when Isaac was 40 years old and it was time for him to get a wife, he wasn't desperate out there dating girls and going after the Canaanite women. He was busy dedicating his life to God so that when he got a family, he would know what was the right way to guide his family, his wife, his children. And who was the one who got a wife for him? It was Abraham. He was the one who went. And Isaac was not like, oh, father, I don't like that person. I prefer this one. He humbly submitted to his father's will. And that gives us an example. We have to submit to our father's will. Jesus Christ came here to this world to teach us the example how to submit to our Father in heaven. And when Abraham did that with Isaac, we can see that doesn't matter where we are, how were we raised, if we just seek the Lord and listen to our Father in heaven, he will reward us. Because Isaac got a reward. What was his reward? When his father died, he no longer needed a father to teach him, because since he listened to him as a young child, when he was an adult, what did he do? He obeyed his Lord. It didn't mean that maybe he fell one time or he disobeyed the other. We all commit sins. But like God said of David, he was a man after God's heart. You might fall, you might do different stuff that doesn't please God, but at the end, if you turn to the Lord and seek him, he will clothe you with his garments of righteousness. So later on, after Josiah saw all of this, we can see one very practical example to understand how is it that the spirit and water is very important to be joined together. Anybody knows what is the definition of a sandwich? A sandwich is two pieces of bread with something in the middle. But if I just have two pieces of bread and put them together without nothing in the middle and I eat it, am I eating a sandwich? No, because I don't have nothing inside. But if I put anything, lettuce, cheese, meat, veggie meat, anything, you put inside, now you have a sandwich. It's the same thing with Jesus. If we study his word, but we don't practice what he tells us, we're just having an empty word. It's just letters. But if we just have letters here, but don't get the spirit of what the letters is talking about, then it's just empty. But if we study and then we meditate and ask for the Holy Spirit to come into us, then those letters take life. And you join together the water and the spirit. And when the spirit comes into us, he will transform us. So I would like for us to turn now to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 again, and for us to see something. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 29 through 32. And it says, "Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant, to keep the words that were written in this book." We today, we have to do the same thing as Josiah. We have to keep the covenant. If we haven't made a covenant with God, we have to make a covenant today to follow his statutes, to follow all that he has given us. We can see in this world, this country was founded on principles that were Christian principles. Yet right now, we see this country, it no longer reflects what it once was. From this country came out many missionaries who preached to many of the Asian, the African nations that were in need of Christ. Yet now, just like Israel, we can see that this country no longer has that power. And as we see, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is us, we are the modern spiritual Israel. We are the ones who are entrusted with the oracles of God to preach it to the nations. Yet we as the children of Israel, as a whole, as a nation, we have failed the Lord. We no longer preach the gospel with power. We go and we act like the other people. Yet God wants us to come back. He doesn't care what we did. He doesn't care if we failed him 1,000 times. He said to Peter, "Forgive 70 times 7. He doesn't have a number for us. He forgives us as many times as he needs to forgive us. And the Lord said in Isaiah, "Though your sins be as crimson, as red as crimson, and white as snow, he will still forgive them." The Lord of hosts is looking for an army of individuals, who take up the challenge to preach his word, but first to reform our lives. Josiah, when he preached to the other people, because when you take away the idols from your life, you're preaching in a silent way. When he preached to the other people, he first had to reform his own life. We have to reform our own lives first. The Lord sent prophets to the children of Israel. He has sent us a prophet too. Many of them didn't listen. Many of us haven't listened, but it's not too late for us to turn back. We have to listen to what the prophet said, because in Isaiah 43, God said, "We are his chosen instruments. We are his servants. He has chosen us to take up the standard." Men like Josiah, who rose up when everything seems hopeless for revival, God wants those kind of men. Right now, to many of you in your personal lives, it might seem like it's hopeless. Maybe you have problems. Maybe you're alone. You feel alone. Maybe your children are not in the church. Or maybe you just have this sickness that just doesn't let you concentrate in what God needs you to do. But like Josiah, he was not too young to follow the Lord. Nicodemus, he was not too old to follow the Lord. God doesn't care about your age. He cares about you. So when everything seems hopeless, we just need to surrender to the Lord. Men like Elijah, who lived in the midst of a sinful nation, Elijah went before King Ahab, and he told the king, "No rain will come for 3.5 years. You know what it is to have that daring to go before a king and the whole palace where none fear the Lord, and you would just be killed in the instant? But how did he have that power? Was it because he just got up one day and said, "Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll just go and do it." And then he went back home and did whatever he wanted? No. is because he surrendered to the Lord. He seeks them each morning. And if we seek the Lord, the Spirit will come into us and will transform us to be powerful men like Elijah, who commanded the heaven not to rain for 3 years. And heaven obeyed him. But why? Because he had a relationship with God. Men like Daniel, who at his young age, it says in Daniel chapter 1, he proposed not to contaminate himself. He did that, and all throughout his life, he kept that promise. When he was at his old age, there came a decree for everyone to pray to the king, King Darius. Did he do it? No, because he had proposed in his heart not to contaminate himself. It didn't matter to him if he was an old man and he had already preached to a lot of people. He could have just said, well, why die in such a horrible way in the lion's den? I mean, I already done my work. I might as well just do this one sin. I still ask for forgiveness. No, he stood fast in his belief and he was bold enough to open the windows. I mean, he could have prayed inside his house and still prayed to God, but he didn't falter. He opened his windows like he's always did and prayed to God, showing everyone that doesn't matter what happens, what you tell me, I will still follow the Lord. And all these men, who were they? Who was Elijah? Who was Daniel? Who was Josiah? Josiah was a king. Elijah was a prophet. They were all had different professions. Many of you today, y'all have different professions. I don't know, maybe y'all were agriculturists, farmers, doctors, in the army, anything you were. But God used you in his way, in his manner, when y'all were young men. And now that y'all are elders, he still wants to keep using you. Y'all might not have the physical strength to go out and do all that you did before. Maybe go knocking out door all day. Maybe y'all can do maybe half a day. But the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says that the young men shall prophesy and the old men shall see visions. Elderly men might not have the physical strength to go out and preach all day, but because of elderly men, many of the young men of this generation will go out and preach. Because men like Josiah didn't just follow the Lord because they felt like it. Elderly men were the ones who taught them the scriptures and who gave him comfort that didn't matter if the country was in such a depth of apostasy. They told him, if you just surrender yourself to God, God works out the miracle for you. That's the same thing that right now, you people, all of you, men, women, child, elderly, we must all surrender to Christ so that we all play an important role in these last days, because these last days, God wants an army. The time for our deliverance is at hand. And when God comes, he will reward each of us. In Revelation, as we close, I would like for us to go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 and verse 12, it says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is why we, old and young, must seek the Lord in these last days and awake from the spiritual death that Ephesians 5:14 says, so that the Lord may shine on us. And when he comes in the clouds of heaven, he will clothe us with his garments of justice so that we may go and live with him in eternity, forever and ever. And when he comes, he will tell us, good done, faithful servant. You kept the good in the little. Now I will reward you with big things. Come and live with me for all eternity. Who wants to do that this morning? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us this morning to consecrate ourselves once more to you. We know that we're not always faithful to you. We falter sometimes, maybe a lot of times. But you don't care how many times we sin, because you said in your word, "Let your sin be red as crimson, it shall be white as snow." You also said that you will forget our sins and you will bury them in the depths of the sea. So now this morning we ask you to please forgive our sins, to bury them in the depths of the sea and transform us so that we can be baptized by the Holy Spirit and have a double portion of the Spirit, so that in this week, as we go out and meet other people, we can share your word with them so that they can also be transformed. So that when we come to you, when you come in the clouds of heaven, those crowns that we will have will be filled with stars, because those stars will show that your Holy Spirit worked through us. Because I know you would be sad if you would have to say, "Depart from me, evildoers," but you would be really proud to say, "Come into my kingdom." So we ask you to come into our hearts so that we may go with you and live for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.